wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.
S3 Podcast, episode 67. In today's podcast, we will be discussing Aliens Might Already Be Watching. But before I delve into this topic, do make sure to follow us over on Instagram at S3Podcast_. We are also on Facebook, S3 Podcast. So without further ado, let's get into it. So on June 25th, the Pentagon and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence released their much-hyped report on Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or UAP. Space alien enthusiasts and skeptics alike awaited it with bated breath. And while the report did not rule out an extraterrestrial origin for much of the documented UAP, it was short on details or bombshells. But we already know our world is easily detectable by extrasolar observers. A paper published on June 23rd in Nature shows that in the past 5,000 years, 1,715 stars have been in the right celestial position to view a populated Earth transiting a sun, with 319 more entering this suite in the next 5,000 years. And 7 of these far-off stars are known to have their own orbiting exoplanets that might support life. Instead of constantly saying what can we detect from other worlds and where are the other worlds that we can detect, think about it in the other way, says Jackie Faherty, an astronomer at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City and a co-author of the new study What Worlds Can Find Us, How Many of Them and For How Long. Lisa Kautenegger, an astronomer at Cornell University, approached Faherty with the idea to create a map showing which nearby stars could see Earth in the past and future. I wanted to do a billion years, Kautenegger says of the proposed timeline, and I was like, no, there's a finite you can do, Faherty explains. The data set the two researchers used came from the Gaia mission, a spacecraft launched by the European Space Agency in 2013 to tally and track more than a billion stars throughout the Milky Way. It uses a distance measuring technique called parallax, which can be understood by simply winking one eye, then the other, and noticing how objects in your field of view shift in proportion to their proximity to you. Your eyes are separated by a small amount of distance, and that distance between your eyes is what allows you to measure depth, Faherty explains. That is what Gaia does, except its baseline is roughly the span of Earth's orbit around the sun rather than the space between a person's eyes. This longer baseline allows the spacecraft to more precisely measure celestial distances and motions. But just as with your eyeballs, there is still some uncertainty in establishing the exact kinetics of these uber-distant objects, Faherty says. So the pair settled on a 10,000 year window, stretching from 5,000 years ago to 5,000 years from now. The timeline is conservative, considering Earth is 4.55 billion years old, but the temporal component is still especially significant because everything in space is moving over time, says Rene Heller, an astrophysicist at the Max Planck Institute for Solar Systems Research in Göttingen, Germany, who was not involved with the study. What's happening in space is dynamic. It's not a static picture, he says. From the Gaia data set, Faherty and Kautenegger picked out the stars within about 300 light years of our sun. Those in our neighbourhood, thanks to Gaia and other surveys, The researchers already knew how fast each star is moving, so they pushed the star's trajectories backward and forward through time on a big virtual map. This approach allowed them to determine when and where these neighborhood stars entered or will enter the so-called Earth Transit Zone, or ETZ, or what Variety calls the bullseye in the sky. The area where a star may be aligned just right to get a glimpse of our world crossing of the face of the sun. That is the same method astronomers here on Earth have used with great success to find and study thousands of worlds around other stars by monitoring a star continuously. Observers can seek out a regular pattern of dimmings and rebrightenings produced by shadowy planets parading across the star's face, as seen from our solar system. This remarkable method does not just tell us if there are planets encircling a star, it also allows observers to scry the bulk chemical composition of the planet's air via starlight shining through its upper atmosphere. When the planet passes in front of the star, it leaves a spectral fingerprint, as we call it, information about its atmosphere in starlight. Kaltenegger and Varty's study is not, it turns out, the first to look for other planetary systems that could catch Earth in transit. Heller and one of his colleagues created a similar map in 2016, although that earlier work tallied just 82 stars that would be aligned in the right position, and it did not implement the temporal component that the Gaia data set allowed. Kaltenegger and Varty to include in their new paper. We thought about whether others might look for transiting planets as we do, but from an extrasolar perspective. Heller says of his previous work, and some of them might be lucky in seeing us Earthlings transiting in front of the sun. Looking at Earth and the solar system from this flipped perspective is extremely valuable, Kaltenegger says. The most impressive image ever, I think, is the pale blue dot that Carl Sagan helped to make. In fact, famous photograph captured by the outbound Voyager 1 probe beyond the orbit of Pluto. A minuscule pinprick of light Earth hangs in a diagonal sunbeam against the dark void of space, its vaguely cyan colour hinting at the presence of watery oceans and clouds. The image is a visual depiction of William Blake's quoted musing about glimpsing a world in a grain of sand, showing how even a single picture of planetary light falling on some faraway detector can reveal surprising amounts of astrobiological relevant information. The view from Voyager 1 is a testament to the chilling, exhilarating fact that just as we can see ourselves from the interstellar depths, others can too. Seven of the stars mapped by Kaltenegger and Varty are known to host possibly rocky exoplanets, thought to be passable candidates for harbouring liquid water, and thus life as we know it. On their surface, one of these, the world called Ross 128b, was in Earth's transit zone for about 2,000 years. It saw our planet between the 10th century BC and the 10th century AD, a time period comprising the reign of Alexander the Great, the fall of Rome and the zenith of the Mayan civilizations. But the best known view is yet to come and exists around another star called TRAPPIST-1. This star is encircled by seven approximately Earth-sized planets, four at the right distance from TRAPPIST-1 to conceivably support life. Kaltenegger says the star and its retinue of worlds will enter Earth's transit zone in about 1,600 years. These stars and related systems should be priority one for current and future efforts to seek out exoplanets that may bear not only life, but perhaps even alien technological civilizations. Some astronomers say I would put the targets mentioned at the top of the list. says Jill Tarter, Chair Emeritus for Research on the Search for Extraterrestrial Life, SETI, at the SETI Institute, who was not involved with the new study. Back on Earth, how might we prepare for when TRAPPIST-1 enters our sightline in 1,600 years, or for when any exoplanets do so? For that matter, Harris says that is a somewhat futile exercise to make 37th century plans with 21st century technology, and humanity might not even be here that far into the future. An option Heller was biblically considered for imagination's sake. We could install some sort of co-orbiting giant sign or apparatus that would imprint its shadow on the sun's outgoing light alongside our planet, but would stay locked away if someone pressed a button once per year. He says the sign would thus inflate once we were gone or had been forgotten about, to display the message, nice, not knowing you, to any beings that came across it in our absence, he jokes. Farty said that beyond orienting searches for extraterrestrial life, she hopes this new star map inspires and opens minds. The project expanded how she thinks about our chances of encountering other worlds. She says, I got an eerie feeling of ships passing in the night doing this work, Farty adds. Heller says he also has a strange feeling about being contacted. Think of living in a room and all the windows are open, and you do all your business and you don't know that all the windows are open, he says. Would you behave differently if you knew that you are being seen all of your life? And so that's an important message to think about, and if you want to read this for yourself, then obviously you can go to scientificamerican.com/article/ aliens might already be watching us. So I thought I'd throw something different in there, because space is important, space exploration is important, for not only us but for the future. So yeah, that will be it for today's episode. I'd like to wish everyone a great day. Hope everything is going well. I hope you are looking after yourself, looking after your mental health, or looking after loved ones. And yeah, I will see you, or you will hear me, in the next episode on Friday. Bye for now.
I wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.